Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Sister Yaina with another edition of the Yehuda Project, and the lines are lighting up. People are calling. This is going to be one of the best shows I think we've had. We put a call out to everybody to call in because we sent a topic out of whether or not Yah has a material body, if he's a material being, or if he is a spirit. And I'm telling you, the response we got was phenomenal. I'm going to play a song that I think you guys is going to be fitting for this show. And we look forward to it. People are already signed on to the chat line. We got quite a few people on the line, so we're going to give a couple more people time to call in. Hope you like the song because this is one of my sentiments, one of my favorite songs. Here we go, you guys. Here we go. Let me get my co-host on the line, Brother Donia, and I also see my brother from Atlanta on the line as well. I'm going to get you on the line. Shalom, shalom, Brother Donia. How are you today?
Shalom, shalom. This is Donia. How are you doing? Everybody all right? I'm doing fine.
I'm wonderful. Everything is great. We've been waiting on this show all week. The lines are lighting up. I'm telling you, we got a lot of people on this line. They're calling in from everywhere. I sent the bolo out to everybody. I sent it out to Christians. I sent it out to Muslims. I sent it out to everybody. I got pastors calling in today. Everybody's going to be calling in on this line today. So we are excited again. The name of the show today was whether or not the Most High is a material being or whether he's a spirit and just a puff of smoke. And we're probably going to touch on some other things as well as far as his vehicles that he travels in and things of that nature, because this is the stuff that Christianity don't teach. You know, Brother Donia, it's going to get good today. I mean, good today, good today.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what some of the responses are going to be. And I really am enthused. I got some stuff that I wanted to say, but I'm going to wait till I try to hear something from somebody else.
Yes, indeed.
It's going to be a hot topic.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's a hot topic.
Yeah. Yes, sir, it is. It's a hot topic, and everybody is talking about it. And I want to say this. I mean, you know, we're going to have some people on the line that are skeptics, and that's fine. We're going to have some people that don't believe, and that's fine. You know, one thing we have to realize is that, you know, we all have the right to freedom of choice, and we all have a right to make a choice. And no one has a right to steal that choice from you because they want you to believe in the choice that they made. So we allow everybody on this show to have their own choice, choose what they choose, and at the end of the day, we hope you're right. I mean, that's all we can do from this standpoint. But we have them on the chat line. We have them on the line, and the lines are filling up. So we want to, you know, open up the lines to different people and give everybody an opportunity to say something. And this is how it works. If you have a question, a comment, you want to make a comment, you want to start it off, push number one. Last week, we've had so many people come on the line and listen to last week's show, you know, because it kind of shocked everybody. They wasn't expecting us to come the way we came. But this is what I felt. This is how I feel the Most High is leading me now. We've done the nation building. You guys know what we're doing. We spent almost 4 months talking about building the treasury, building the nation, bringing the nation of Israel together. Now it's time to start for us to start talking about the God we serve, start talking about the kingdom we're from, start talking about the things that are going to draw the outside people in. Because one thing about Christians is the ones that really love that word, they're going to come because they love that word. So it's time to start doing something a little different strategically. We're going to start drawing them in and just open up the topic. We're not trying to change your mind. We're not trying to force you to believe something. We just land something different on the table for you to look at it from a different perspective. So we're not going to be angry if you don't believe what we believe, but everybody's going to have a chance to say what they believe, because a lot of us have a lot of different thoughts and we believe a lot of different things. Do you agree, Brother Donia?
That is correct. And the end of the matter is that if you write, the Almighty will favor that, and he will show us if you write. You understand? And we're all going to go that way. You understand? But we all got to put this stuff on the table to find out who's right and who's wrong. And it's not about who's right or who's wrong even. You understand? Trying to find out the truth of the matter. You understand? And I just can't wait till I hear some of the other responses so that I can weigh in. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. My brother from Atlanta, if you want to push one, we're going to get you on the show because we really enjoyed you last week. And anybody else that he has invited on the show, I don't know how many of you, it's a lot of people from Atlanta on the line, a whole lot of people from Atlanta on the line. So let me get my brother from Atlanta on the line. Brother Donia's from Atlanta. Atlanta is burning up. We're going to get down there. Shalom, shalom, my brother. How are you?
Shalom, shalom, brother Yirmiyahu, and very well pleased and very well blessed to be here, and just like to greet everyone in the name of Yah today. And thank you so much, sister, and thank you, brother, for having me to be a part of this platform today. Shalom.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, now hallelujah. Let me start it off, because we're going to have a skeptic corner, because some people are going to be skeptic, and this is how we're going to do it. These are the rules of engagement. Let me tell y'all what the rules of engagement are. Everybody will have an opportunity to talk. Depending on how many people we get on this line, because we can only hold 25 people, and we almost halfway there. So depending on how many people we eventually get on this line, we're going to give everybody at least 1 minute to say something, and then we'll have a minute to come back and rebut and do what we need to do. This is not a debate. We're not debating. We're just bringing land some stuff on the table. We are presenting some things that Christianity does not know about, and nor do they talk about. And it's our responsibility as Hebrews to be able to do this anyway.
That is correct.
Right?
That is correct.
That's right.
That is
correct.
All
right, then. Well, you know what? This is what we're going to do. And the Bible, the book that they call the Bible, is the playbook. So that's the book we're going to read out of. I'm not saying we can't bring other writings and stuff into there, because Josephus may have some things in his book, but we want to make sure that we let everybody know where we're coming from. Now, the reason why we do this is because somebody's going to be like, well, what difference do it make whether you have a body or not? It makes a lot of difference, because everybody in Christianity and abroad believe they serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. But at the end of the day, if you don't know him and you don't know what you're dealing with, then you're working at a disadvantage. So we're just going to bring some things to the table, lay it out on the table, get your books, get your scriptures. It's time to go. All right, who want to start first? Whoever want to start first, whichever one of y'all want to start first, go ahead. But I think we should start in the book of Genesis.
Yeah. Well, see, here's my whole take, and I wasn't going to bring this until I heard something from somebody else, but my understanding here is that, I'm Torah-based. I believe in the true and living Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that's how I've learned the scriptures from that particular perspective. I started out as a Christian, but I was so young I didn't realize or recognize what they was even talking about. But you know, so I never really got the whole gist of that. But
okay.
As I grew up and I went and got involved with Israel, that's where all my learning came from. You understand? Now, I want y'all to understand this here, is that I trust in the Almighty and I believe in him with all my heart and soul. And I believe that when, you know, that we are all going to be on the same page at some point in time, mm-hmm. because the Creator said that. You understand? That means Christianity, Messianic, Buddhism, Muslims, all of us going to be on the same page at one point. You understand? It's just that at this particular juncture right here, we got to feel and find out what page we talking about. You understand? Are we talking about the Muslims? Are we talking about Christianity, Buddhism? You understand? Or Israel? You understand? So, and the Almighty will show favor to that particular understanding. You understand? And we will all know that the Almighty is showing favor. You understand? So, now we talked last week. We mentioned some other scriptures. We mentioned some things about another deity that is supposed to have brought us into being. You understand? Now I did a little research, and the research that I had, you understand, I was confused when I went in, and I'm more confused now than I ever been, you understand, because what happens is that, and that's what's going to happen here when we go into these scriptures and we go into other things and other books and et cetera, you understand, it was the scrolls that was written by the Sumerians. And the Sumerians were supposed to be one of the oldest ancient humans on the face of the earth during that particular time, and they have written stuff written all on walls and et cetera. And they talked about this deity, you understand, that formed us out of the. He said, "Let us make man let us make man in our image." You understand, and that's how the script. That's how the Torah is written, but it does not tell us that particular peoples was black folks. Those were black people that was making man in that image. It talks about how he had his contemporaries working along beside him, but he was the main factor, you understand, and we were formed from the dust of the earth. Now, out of that, now what I had perceived out of that was that who put that together? Was it black folks that put that together, or was it some white folks that put that together, or how are we getting this information? You understand? So out of that, we understand we still, as a people, we are a people of discernment. We're supposed to be able to discern right from wrong, right and for wrong. So whatever we getting this understanding from, we still got to be able to discern whether it's true or not. You understand?
That's
so
true.
But I can go a little deeper than that by telling you, you understand, if we want the truth, then we need to go to the source.
There you go.
The source is the Almighty. We need to call on the Almighty and let him give us what we need, our understanding. And I'm gonna leave it there for the moment. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And now let me say something on the, I'm gonna come back with that, because one thing we're going to put on the table, and this is what's going to start it off. The Ancient of Days. When I listened to the last show last week, there was a person that came on. The young lady said that the Ancient of Days was not Yah. And in the scriptures, in Daniel talks about the Ancient of Days, and he is described as a material being. Okay, we don't want to say that Yah is a man, because Yah is not made in the material that we are made out of. We are made out of the dust of the ground. So when Daniel describes the Ancient of Days, He is describing a physical material being in the form of the likeness of a man.
That is correct.
So the question on the table is the Ancient of Days Yah? And if not, who is he? One thing I want to say to everybody is we don't want anybody to give their resume about how long they've been in this thing and where they got it. We want strictly word. Bring the words. We are going to stay in the Old Testament so that we can talk about this particular topic.
Yahoo!
Excuse me. Excuse me.
That's incidentally, that's an one of the ancient abbreviations for his name too, Yahoo.
Yes, sir. So what do you think about a Yemen Yahoo? What do you think the Ancient of Day? Who do you think he is?
Well, okay. Again, like it says over in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 is exactly where it's found. He said, "I beheld to the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit." He's sitting on the throne now. Then he gives a very, very vivid description of his head and his hairs were white, like the pure wool. It gives a very, very vivid description of not only the color of his hair, but the texture, woolly. Okay? Now, when you look at the phrase Ancient of Days, that is both metaphorical and allegorical in its meaning. Okay? Who else? In other words, that's an allegorical way of saying that this particular being here has no beginning, has no ending, and time and space and days and years and months and minutes and seconds have absolutely no effect on him. Because if he's the Ancient of Days, that means he doesn't even have an age. We know the Most High doesn't have a beginning, and he doesn't have an end. So when you talk about the Ancient of Days, I don't know who else this can be but the Most High, y'all. And we can go to countless scriptures all over this book, like Brother Adonia say, where did this come from, where did this arise, who gave us this book. But then again, like you said too, sister, what comes into play is wisdom, which is the principal thing in all that getting, get understanding, okay? It will take the wisdom of Yah to even guide you through this book because there's so many mistranslations, so many italics and things that don't hold any consistency. So it will take the spirit of Yah to guide you through this book to even tell you what his words are versus what somebody else put in here that he didn't say. So like you all said, we're already on point with the fact that it will take the spirit, it will take the wisdom of Yah to guide you through this book to tell you and show you and teach you what all of this stuff means. Otherwise, you would get lost in the translations, you would get lost in the transliterations, you would get lost, period. You would get lost in words, what the etymology of words, which means the origins of word, whether this word originates, what did it mean as original context. No, it takes a lot of homework. Like Ecclesiastes says, much study is weariness to the flesh. That is right. That is correct. So I agree with you all on this, but from all I've found and from all I've investigated, along, you know, with what is comprised of the scriptures or what's included in the scriptures, and the wisdom that Yah has blessed me and others on this planet to see, the Most High is indeed a physical being, because you can go all through Exodus. We can even go over in Exodus and show you where he even told Aaron and Moshe, you know, to tell his sons to get ready to meet him now, in the office of the priest. Then it keeps talking about this cloud that always come down and descend over the tabernacle or over the Holy of Holies. And all of a sudden, you have the presence of the Most High there. They go in and meet with him personally. In other words, we're having an office meeting today. Tell Aaron and his sons to be there. He specifically says in the book of Exodus, I will meet with you in the office of the priest. But that's just one of many places, my brothers, yes, my sisters, that the Most High proves that he is indeed a physical being. You're right. He's a man, but he's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. See, the Most High and the Elohim, the Malachim, they're not made out of flesh. But
no, sir.
They created flesh, dirt, in their image and likeness. So that means that if somebody creates you in their image and likeness, you have to look like they do.
That's right.
That is correct.
That's right. That's right.
You know, remember what he told Brother Donnie over there in Numbers, the 12th chapter, when Aharon and Miriam, they call her Miriam, his sister, had this accusation against Moshe marrying this Ethiopian woman.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what the word says. It says that Yah heard them. How do you hear somebody if you don't have ears? He heard them. But look what else he does. He comes down in person, and the Numbers, the 12th chapter, tell you that he calls both Miriam and Aharon to him. It says he came down and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Miriam and Aharon to them and forced them out. He told Miriam, if your father would have but just spit in your face. And he warned them, look, if there be a prophet amongst you, I, Yah, will do what? I will speak to that prophet in a dream and reveal myself unto him in a vision. Not so with my servant Moshe. Him only did I choose to do what? Speak face to face with. And he is the only one that I granted to behold the what? Similitude of the Most High. Look that word up and see what similitude means.
Okay.
If he was able to see the similitude of Yah, he saw the appearance. Similitude means appearance, what you are like, what you look like. See?
That is correct.
Yeah. And if he created us in his image and likeness in his similitude, that means we have to look like him as the Elohim. Hallelujah. I don't want to go too far with it. I'm just going to share.
Go ahead and share, you know.
Keep going. Keep going.
Yes, sir. Keep going.
And notice what the Most High, after he fusses Miriam and Aharon, he does a different thing with Miriam. Look what he does to her. He smites her with leprosy. If anybody got any problem as to what color leprosy turns your skin, go to the 13th chapter of Leviticus.
Yes,
it is known in the original era.
Yes,
he turned her into a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Moshe had to pray and say, let her be not one that is dead.
He let her be like that for 7 days.
Tell her to get outside the camp for 7 days. Isn't that the law of leprosy? Look at that. But notice, he fusses her out, but he makes it plain and clear that Moshe is the only prophet that arose in Israel that he dealt with face to face. How do you speak to somebody face to face if they don't see your face, if you don't talk with them? So how can that be a spooking spirit thing? Every time he came down this cloud, and you go out on YouTube, you see what they're admitting. There are such things as chariot cloud. Sister Yaima, remember that old song, 'Tis the old ship of Zion?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
The ship, ship of Zion. What is that thing? That's that thing that Eliyahu's servant saw when he told him, if you will be with me in the day that Yah take me, you'll get a double portion of my period. What did the man do? Excuse me, I get excited on top of that. Elisha, now his servant, his understudy, Elisha, he tore his mantle. What is a mantle? That's that priestly garment that the priest wore, okay? He tore it, and he said, my El, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. That's that old ship of Zion. Notice who that chariot belonged to. We got our own chariot, Israel and the horsemen, meaning the angels, and the horsemen thereof. Look at that.
Okay. Speak the truth.
So how can he not be a physical being when he's been seen by so many people? Look what he told Moses back in Exodus 24, starting at verse 1. He told him to take 70 of the elders of Israel and bring them on the top of a certain mountain.
And then
Yah came down and they saw. Your new books say no one has never saw him.
Mm-hmm.
Our book says, and they saw the Elohim of Israel and did eat. They ate with him.
Yes, they did.
They saw him under his feet,
yes,
paved work. Feet now. What are you doing with feet?
I'm telling you.
That you're not going to see me now. He said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock. I'm going to walk by you, and I'm going to cover your face with my hand. What is he doing with a hand? And you'll see the back of me, but you're not going to see my face right now. But see, he eventually fixed it. Well, he and Moshe actually sit down and talk face to face. But at that particular time, he told Moshe, you're not going to see my face because ain't nobody look on my face and live now. Let's be good about it. So, hallelujah, let me give it to somebody else. But we can go on and on with this now.
Yeah, you did a magnificent job with it, brother. You broke it down. You really broke it down. You understand? There's not very many people that cannot understand that. You understand? Now, I want to hear from somebody else. If there's somebody else out there that can rebuke that, please let me hear it. I want to hear what it is. Hallelujah.
That's right. We want to open up the mic. If you have a question, if you have something else you want to bring to the table, if you disagree with that, I mean, because this is just an open forum for us to lay this out, because this is the stuff that Christianity does not teach. They do not teach that. And matter of fact, that God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's New Testament stuff over there. When you deal with the Old Testament, you are dealing with a material being. Now, I got to ask you this, Brother Yermayahu. When I was studying today, they said that the ship that actually touched down on Mount Sinai was so huge that it was the size of 3 football fields.
Okay.
And that when it landed, that the whole mountain shook because this thing landed on top of it. And today, and I want to say this to those that are in the listening audience, if you go out and research, the top of Mount Sinai, or the tip of it is still burnt, it's still charred, and the rocks are permanently burnt forever, that this ship that landed on top of this mountain was the size of 3 football fields. Now, let me tell you what happened to me one time. One time
Go ahead,
I was in my bedroom, like about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the TV was on, and Farrakhan came on Ted Koppel's show. And Farrakhan told Ted Koppel, he said, you know they up there, and I know they up there. He said, and you know how big it is. He said, and then y'all had the nerve to make a movie called Independence Day. He was like, you know it's up there, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. And that man, that white man turned so red, he was so scared. He was like, I don't know nothing about what you're talking about. I don't know nothing about what you're talking about. He said, y'all had the nerve to make a movie called Independence Day. That ship is up there, and that thing is the size of 3 football fields. I wanted to ask you, remember last week when you said that the man went up in the Challenger and he saw the black men in the chariots with the koofies on? What was the name? Would you tell me that again in the name of the astronaut?
That astronaut's name, Gion Bluford, Bluford. Go out there and look at it. It's out online. Now, that particular article came out in a Newsweek magazine, Time magazine, way back in the day, and probably around about the mid-'80s or so, okay? I've been looking for that magazine all over the place, and that's the only one that I haven't been able to find a copy of. Coincidental, huh? Well, let's bring it up to today's day, Sister Yaina. Look at all these people, all these multiple sightings that's going on all over the planet every day. Here in Atlanta, people are calling the, quote, UFO Center. It's a website called UFOCenter.com, okay? Even a man named Peter Davenport. He said never before in the history of him having had that organization have he heard so many sightings all over this planet. People are seeing things. We see them right here in the skies of Atlanta. I'm sure a lot of these people who are online now waiting that are calling from Atlanta can testify to the fact that we are seeing a lot of strange phenomena here in the air. So look at this. Some of these ships are so huge, some of them are even larger than 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 football fields. Psalm 68:17 tells you that Yah has a fleet of 20,000 of them, when just one of them is big enough to cover the sky.
Could you imagine what a fleet of 20,000 chariots in the sky at the same time would do? Do y'all realize who we have on our side, my people? The armies of heaven are so huge, and they cannot be defeated. Cannot be defeated. So it ain't going to be no problem with delivering us.
You all right.
Isn't that right, I told you? You think
that
you
can
solve how to get us out of this captivity?
Yep. See, the Almighty is...
You can understand why they saw fire and smoke come out of the bottom of the mountain, because that machine was sitting on top of that mountain, and it was probably so big for the mountain to take. And Christianity teaches it like the God of Abraham and Isaac stepped his foot on the mountain, and the mountain went boosh. And smoke stuff. And you know, it's like, stop the smoke screen and mirrors and let's talk real so that people understand what they're dealing with and who they really serving, because this is serious business when you present him to be one way, like he this big puff of smoke and he just encompasses the whole earth and he's this knowledgeable. No, he's a material being that is in the image. He is in the image of a man, and he is both male and female.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, that book from the books of the book of Enoch. We need to hard look at Enoch. You understand now? It might be confusing, Mary, so you might want to do it two or three times. Take a look at it and listen.
I've already been there. Already been there.
You understand?
I've already read and studied out of.
Yeah. But, for me, you understand, I need to, you know, when I read something, I have to read it about four or five times before I can really get the whole gist of it, you understand, you know,
right.
Unless somebody's sitting with me where we can study together. But for the most part, man, the book of Enoch gives us a real good story. Now, see, the reason why I say that we must go to the source, because a lot of these things, man, you know, is... people have ulterior motives. When they write stuff, man, they may put some good stuff in there, stuff that we can understand, but they also put in their own perspective, you know, their own perception, you understand? And so we got to be the ones that discern the truth out of all of that mess, you understand?
Right.
What does it mean to you and me, you understand, as it relates to the Almighty? You understand what I'm saying? Because, when they, you know, like, even, you know, Josephus and, what's his name, Nostradamus and all of them people, man, they have ulterior motives, man. Them folks is white folks. They ain't never been nowhere. You understand? They giving it to us from their perspective. You understand? You know, and they always got these ulterior motives. You understand? And they definitely, if you know the white folks, they ain't never going to tell you the truth. Hallelujah.
Well, the book tells you
Psalm
50. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm just going to say we got Eric Code 312 calling in, and I'm going to open up this mic. But, brother, Maury Yerman, Yahoo, you go ahead and say what you got to say. 312, as soon as he finished speaking, I've opened up your mic. Go ahead, sir.
I'm going to be very brief because you're right about that, Brother Adonia, because they have jacked up and messed up some stuff big time. But, you know, Psalm 58, starting at verse 3, tells you that the wicked are estranged from the womb. As soon as they be born, they go astray speaking lies. So what does estranged mean? It means to pass on feelings of hatred, lying, cheating, killing, stealing. In other words, all of your attributes are passed on to your offspring while they are yet developing in your womb. So they come out of the womb wicked, out of the womb lying. And controversial. You're right. And all these other people, you're right. They got their own twist and spin on stuff. But then again, it brings you back to this very powerful gift that can only come from Yah. And that thing is called wisdom.
That is correct.
That's what guides you and leads you and help you to decipher all of this stuff that's before you and me and us now. See? We have to have this thing from him to even not understand, but overstand what it is we're reading, what it is we're trying to comprehend, because wisdom is the principal thing in all that getting.
That is correct. That
so,
is correct.
Hallelujah, gospel, so you go ahead and open it up now.
Okay, area code 312, go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, this is Brother Moshe from Chicago.
No, shalom, shalom. Shalom,
shalom.
Shalom.
Yes, I've been listening to the show so far, and first of all, I would like to say that I am Messianic, and I do believe in the Messiah. I've heard both sides of the story. I believe in the Torah and all that, what the Almighty Yah says, and I also believe in the Messiah. And with this particular topic here, it's very interesting. I've heard some of the scriptures that my beloved brother from Atlanta used, and most of them was on point thus far. But I heard something that really intrigued me, and one of them was, I heard Sister Yaina say, we're not going to use the New Testament. But then I also heard her say, that's New Testament stuff. Well, if we're not going to use the New Testament, then you shouldn't say something, make a statement like that, that that's New Testament stuff. Because the New Testament can say some things that the average person that's not learned what may think is contradicting what the brother just said. But according to the New Testament, it's quite lining up with what he said. But when you say we're not going to use the New Testament, that tickled my fancy, and it also made me say, why would she say that? Is it something in the New Testament that may rub up some brothers funny, or is it some truths in the New Testament that may debunk this topic? I just wanted to put that on the line, but thus far, some of the things the brother said, I do agree. But that New Testament scripture rubbed me a little bit. It just tickled my fancy, that's all. Thank you for letting me speak. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, brother.
All right, and I would like to follow up with him, and the reason why I said that is because when we had this topic last week and we brought this topic to the table, it was brought to our attention that the whole issue of Yah having a body, a physical material body, was out of the New Testament, and that was what Christianity brought into, that when we leave Christianity, we bring that concept with us. And what we were trying to explain last week was that, no, when you deal with the body of the Most High being a material being, that's all through the Old Testament. I don't ever negate the New Testament because I believe in it. Everybody knows who I stand. I don't hide it. It's not anything I hide. So don't misunderstand what I was saying. What I'm saying is that when you deal with the Most High, Yahuwah, and his physical person and his experience that he's had with us as a nation, that's New Testament story. When you talk about the book of Deuteronomy, that's Old Testament story. When you talk about the book of Exodus, all of those books deal with Yah coming face-to-face, dealing with us as a nation of people. So that is where my statement came from for all of you all that are listening, so that you understand, because I don't want anyone to feel like that the whole concept of the Most High and the material being came from the fact that Yahawashah has a body. No, this is Old Testament scriptures that clearly identify the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as a physical material being that conversates, he eats, he talks, he meets, he has compassion, he goes through different emotions. And that's what this show is all about today. So just to clear that up so that there's no misunderstanding. You guys have something you want to say behind that?
You can go first, Brother Donnie, because I do have something to say.
Well, see, I can't even speak on the New Testament because I know I don't have any understanding on that subject. All I know is what the five books of Moses talks about. And when I say that the five books, I'm skeptical about those too, because we getting these scriptures from people that had no knowledge of what went down in that era during that particular time. You understand? See, we getting these books and we take these books and we run with them and call them ours, and we say that everything that they say that was put in those books as true. None of them books have anything to do. I mean, were written by any black man that we could say. You understand that we could hold his things true. We getting everything that we get is European. None of that other stuff. You understand? You know? I mean, it's all European. And we have out of all of those books, we have to discern where we fit in those books. And when they start talking about the the mythological stuff I forget this guy's name, man. Anyway, you understand? They don't never put us in there. You understand? Mm-hmm. They talk about that mystic, logical God and Atlantis and all of that mm-hmm. stuff. You understand? They don't put us in there at all. They come up with stuff that we that's gonna keep us at odds with one another. You understand? Mm-hmm. So I, you know, when I talk about that I'm Torah based, I'm skeptical mm-hmm. with that too, but I have to draw a conclusion on what I've read. Hallelujah.
Praise the Most High. Yeah, you know, brother, that's very well stated. Let me just say this, and I'm not going to base this on any conjecture or any type of what I think or what my opinion is and this or that or whatever. This, again, has to do with some of us are avid researchers. I just happen to have been one of those, and I have had an opportunity to lay my eyes on some ancient texts that I still don't understand because I can't read the ancient language. I do know that there is a real language of Hebrew, but what I did find out from the people that I conversed with years ago on this subject, first of all, there is no such thing as an Old and a New Testament. In original Hebrew, which we call Hebrew, you have what is called a Mishnah and Gemara. Mishnah meaning the older section of the book, Gemara meaning the newer section, but that's in reference only to Torah. And then you go back to the original meaning, for example, the word Genesis. Now you talk about messing up some stuff, brother, don't you? That word is messed up. Let me tell you what that means. Notice how it's spelled. Isis. That means the generation of Isis, a pagan deity that our brothers the Mizraimites worshipped. Okay. Now we have to take that to Bereshit, the original meaning in Hebrew. Okay. The book of beginnings. That only goes to a book that we've been mistakenly led to call Malachi. Actually, the word is pronounced Malakia, Malakia. It has the same meaning as my messenger, whether it be a man on the celestial plane or a messenger from the terrestrial. Terrestrial meaning earthly, celestial meaning what? Heavenly, an angel. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I'm doing. I don't want anybody to take any offense to what I'm saying. I'm just inviting you to go out there and look at it. There is a European that has come out of the forefront, as well as the fact that there have been Roman Catholic bishops who have come out and finally admitted that the book that they added to these books that we were given originally, okay, that they call the New Testament, was written by a group of Roman aristocrats called the Piso family.
Okay, got that. Understand that.
Now, I'm inviting everyone. Don't take my word for it. I never tell anybody to take me because I'm just a man. A man can error, okay? Mm-hmm. That's why y'all say, curses the man that trusts the man. Don't even trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Do your own study. I don't even trust myself because I'm a man.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say something real quick, Brother Yermiyahu? I understand what you're doing, and you know, it's no issue with that. We need to stay on topic. But the whole conversation and the whole comment that was made was to steer us in this direction. And I think we need to see the enemy when we see the enemy and continue on the topic that we were, because they want to cause controversy between. Let me tell you what's going on. There's an issue with the fact that I'm a Messianic, and we're dealing with each other non-Messianic to Messianic. That's always been out in the open, and sure. Every time we have a topic that we're getting along and things are going on well, the enemy always sends somebody into the scene to cause confusion and take us off topic. So can we please stay on topic, because that whole issue and that whole question was to throw us off topic, and we don't want to leave topic because we have a lot of people on this line, and I mean a lot. But you go ahead and say what you have to say, and then I have somebody on here, area code 314.
Okay.
But go ahead and make your comment.
I can just put a period behind it. Like I said, I know that's another whole subject, and that will take, you know,
a special
meeting and a special group to even deal with that issue. But going back to
and we will one day, but you know what? The scripture says that, you know, we have to be wise and we have to have wisdom. And the one thing that we know that's going to draw the people back to the knowledge of Yah is to bring Yah and put Yah in the forefront. So it's never been a fact that I've hid who I am, what I believe. We talked about that early on in the beginning of the show, that nobody has a right to steal another person's choice. If I choose to believe what I believe, I believe what I believe, you believe what you believe. But at the end of the day, we are blood brothers and sisters, and we're going to get along. So when people come on the show and throw little things in the show to cause diversion, that's the enemy. So we have to be able
to
see
exactly
the enemy.
Right.
You know what I'm
exactly
saying?
Right.
So we don't want that comment to take us down a bunny trail, because the enemy does not want this knowledge about Yah to get out, because what it's going to do is it's going to change people's concept as to who Yah really is.
Cockerago, you understand? Listen, we're going to have to go. We're going to have to talk about this sooner or later. You understand? Maybe just not.
Right.
May not be the forum for that, but we're going to have to get it all out. You understand?
Yes.
The reason now, I'm gonna let you go, Yerman Yahu. I'm gonna let you speak, and then I want to say something right after that, Pavakusha.
Well, brother, you can go ahead and take it. It's basically like what it is. Like, I agree with the sister. We'll stay on point with the topic, and she's right. You can easily be sidetracked, but eventually we will have to deal with all these subjects.
That is correct.
Because the Most High Yah is imparting wisdom. Like, man, off the chain here. That's the reason why we're beginning to question things that we're questioning now. You know, like the sister said, is the Creator, is he a physical presence, physical being, and these vessels that we hear about just about every week now. You're hearing of some sighting somewhere, fireballs across the sky. I mean, the Internet is lit up with it, and even the Illuminati news media is lit up with this, and they can no longer contain it. So you are absolutely correct. That's all I got to say right now. Shalom.
Yeah. All right. The one thing that I wanted to see if I can drive home is that, see, most of the things that we talk about, you understand, we don't have one scholar, black scholar, we can go to his book and say, hey, man, there's a black scholar, and let's see what he has to say, and let's go with his understanding. Every understanding that we have here is all European. You understand? So what we have to do, I mean, I'm talking about back there during the Greek time, you understand, and the Romans and all of that stuff. You understand? They put all of this stuff out there. You understand? We don't, you know, the laws, statutes, ordinances, commandments, all of those things are true. But they've been tampered with so bad, and the books that they put out, you understand, come from them Europeans. So we have to discern between what really is the truth. You understand? Now, the only way that we can get to the truth is that we have to sit down with the Almighty and ask the Almighty to show us what the truth is. And I'm not talking about just you and me. I'm talking about in the four corners of the earth where we've been scattered. You know, so it will make no mistake. It will be no mistake that the Almighty didn't come to everybody that sat down there on that Day of Atonement to try to find out the truth. You understand? He will give us the understanding because he is our true and living Yah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And when you and I
and on that note, I'm
going
to open up
Eric
Code 314. Go ahead,
you
turn the air. We want to hear your comment.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't quite get you on topic, but the last gentleman, I really, you know, he's really on point. And he's right. It was Christians that called the first five books the Old Testament. Anything beyond. And here's another thing. The Ethiopians in Gondor today. And I spent 8 years over there going in and out of temples, tombs, and pyramids. Ethiopians in Gondor today ain't never been enslaved. They've been they're as close as that area as somebody is from Chicago to Mississippi. And they don't agree with what we as blacks here in America has come to understand and to follow. But the thing that we should be doing is sitting down at the table and talking about how we can improve ourselves economically in this land. Leave our guns and our religion at the door, sit down at the table. So we're not going to agree on these things. I can tell you that now. But at least there's one thing that we can agree on is that when it comes down to controlling our economy, educating our children, we are the dead thing last on the list. And only we can change that.
Shalom, shalom. Who is that who spoke just then?
This is Tiana.
I think that we have brother, are you a Christian?
No.
Area code 314?
No,
okay,
I'm sure not.
Brother, he believes that the only thing that we need to focus on is to change our economic situation and educate our children. Now, I'm not sure whether you understand who we are, what we stand for, but we are the Hebrew Israelites, so I'm going to let the brothers answer that question as to how that works. So go ahead, you guys.
Okay, shalom, shalom. What did you say your name was, Adoni?
My name is Pianki Bankole Kofi Nefakara Nishi.
I've been trying to get us to talk about this subject
That's
for a long
my,
time. You hit
it
right on the head. You understand? See, we're not going to be able to come to any kind of full conclusion because of the diversity of our understandings in that area of spirituality and religion. We're not going to come to any conclusion on that at this particular time. But we can come to a conclusion on how we can improve our economics and the educational system. You understand? I believe in that. I got some stuff sitting on my desk right now that is a foolproof plan. You understand? That will save 85% of us if we implement it. That's what I suggest. And I think that you are talking about something very, very – that we need to sit down and talk about, that we need to sit down and come to a conclusion on, that we need to that waste no time in not doing. Hallelujah.
Brother from Atlanta, we're going to answer this question real quick, and then we're going to get back on topic. Amore Yermayahu, you have something you want to say to the brother?
Well, pretty much in agreement. You know, see, we need to cover – all areas that we are in need of. But first and foremost, like you, Brother Adonia, and others come on this platform, say, we got to take it back to the source. We got to look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help coming from the Most High Yah. He is the answer. See, we are a people that have what? Multiple problems, a multiplicity of problems, and we have one solution to solve all our problems, and we won't look to the one solution. So, hey, once we look to that one solution to solve our multiplicity of problems, man, we'll be a force to be reckoned with. So,
that is correct.
Economics is a part of it, too, most certainly. Most certainly, first and foremost, you know. But first, to even get that house in order, we got to get our spiritual house in order. Shalom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And my response to that is I feel that, you know, whatever happens to us in this land, as long as we're in this land, the economic situation is a part of the curse. I believe that our education situation is a part of the powers that be, and they are in control of what we learn, how we learn, until we take those things back and begin to teach our own selves, our own children, the real truth and the real story. That's where it begins, because knowledge is freedom, and the more you know, the more freed up you are. And like I said, we have to get back to who we serve so that we understand, because it has to all start with the Most High. It has to all start with Yah, and I'm glad that we're all mature enough to be able to go back on topic, because you know the enemy loves to sabotage stuff, and we have to see it for what it is and be able to move on there. So let me ask you this question, Brother Yirmiyahu. When the 70 elders went up on the Mount Sinai to meet with the Most High, and Aaron's sons went with him, do you think that he changed himself into something that they were able to visibly see? And my next question is, were they allowed to actually go on the ship that he came from? Because remember last week the man called and said, well, I don't think that he rides on a ship. He don't need to ride on a ship. There's no reason for him to even travel in the ship, but he does have a fleet of them. And what did you say that was? Psalm 68 and what did you say that was? You said that he has a whole fleet of?
That's Psalm 68:17.
Okay.
He has a fleet of 20,000 of these things. All throughout the book, they either call clouds or chariots. Isaiah 66:15 says that Yah shall come with fire and with his chariot like a whirlwind. Now remember, Eliyahu went up in a chariot in what? In a whirlwind. The engines from the thing produces a whirlwind like effect.
Yes, it does.
See, we can try, and then Psalm 18 tell you that Yah rode upon a chariot. It say upon the what? Wings of the wind he did fly. And it says fly. Now, how do you fly? So in answer to your question there, it simply states, I have to state it as it is written. It tells you that he told him to come up on the mountain. It wasn't Sinai. He just told him a certain mountain, okay? Because, you know, y'all down on all those mountains, Mount Paran, you know, Mount Sinai, other mountains, all mountains, Mount Neri, all those mountains out there, see? He is something about mountains that he always dealt with, okay? Now, when he told him to meet with him up there with those 70 elders, they could have possibly, it didn't say that they went into the cloud or into the ship. It just simply said that they saw him when they got to the top of the mountain. They saw him. And it said under his feet were pavement work, okay? So this would lead you to believe that he had to have still been inside some type of vessel for his feet to be standing on some type of paved work. Because the mountain was paved out. So you're pretty much on point with this, sister. You're pretty much on point with this, yes. But it says that they definitely saw him. It didn't say he changed himself into a form to where they could see him. Because you notice it's about the Most High all throughout the scripture, Sister Naeem. Okay. Notice, whenever the Creator needed to address something that needed to be addressed drastically, he didn't send nobody. He didn't even send an angel. He came in person himself.
Yes, he did.
He didn't send no so-called begotten son of his to tell Moses and Miriam stop talking about, hey, Moses the way they were, okay? When they were building the Tower of Babel, he didn't send no angel down to look upon that tower and say he came down and looked upon the tower himself. Then he called to the Elohim and said, let us confuse their speech. See? Yes. He shows up in person. When he was going to just go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he, like the sister said, let me she read that again, you'll see that Yah was with these two men. Okay? He told Abraham what he was going to the city of Sodom, these two twin cities of wickedness, and what he was going to do to them personally. He came in person and addressed the problem. So, it's full of evidence that the Most High has appeared to people on several occasions, many times, to address the issues that needed to be addressed himself. He didn't even send an angel. He came himself to do these things. Now, when did he stop doing that? When did he change? When did he get this, all of a sudden, come up with his only begotten son? Plus, he tells you two places in the book where his son's name is, Exodus 4:22 and Hosea 11:1. When Israel was a child, I called my son out of Egypt. Told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son, my firstborn. You can't have two firstborn sons. I don't care how you try to figure that. You cannot have two firstborn sons.
Hallelujah.
Who his son. I have to go with what he said.
If he has a son, he should know his son's name. Well, he tells us his son's name in the scripture. Hallelujah.
Right, right. And I have read that before, too. But, you know, like I said, we got to stay on point. I have this question. When Joseph was wrestling with the angel, was that the Most High he was wrestling with, or was that one of the Malachim?
Go back there and read that again, because a lot of people have a lot of controversy with that. When we meet again, I want you to tell me who it is.
Let me try to clarify some stuff here. See, I want to ask the question myself. I want to know, when we read those scriptures here, is that something that we reading that is something that we know to be true, or is it something that somebody told us that is true, or that we take as being truth?
Here's what you do, my brother. You, me, and all of us have an open line of communication with the Creator. Go to
that is correct.
Ask him.
That is correct. But see, here's the major thing. Now, I can come up and say, yeah, that's true. I mean, the Almighty came to me, or I spoke to the Almighty, and he came to me, and he told me that is true. It's a lot of these things that we're talking about, you understand, just like all through this, you know, since last week, I've been getting revelations from the Almighty as to maybe we should check these scriptures out that was put in place, you understand, aside from what we read in the scriptures, you understand, like, you know, Josephus, the rest of those folks that I mentioned earlier, you understand. But then just last night, he came to me and he told me, he said, man, you go to the source. Let's get everybody from the four corners of the earth on the Day of Atonement, not this Day of Atonement, but the following Day of Atonement, you understand, so that we can get people to the table, so that we can all get on the same page. See, the Almighty will let us know what the real deal is, you understand, instead of us going by and hearing what somebody else said it was and how we can draw our conclusion from what they said. We getting it from the source. So,
praise
you
God.
Know... You understand? See, because what we're doing here is we're getting plagiarized versions of everything. You understand? What's his name? King James Version. You understand? And they had another guy that wrote some stuff. You understand? They had they got the Mormon Version. Oh, man, yep. They got so many different understandings here. You understand? Let's go to the source. Hallelujah.
That's right. Rabbi Smashin,
I agree 100%.
You can throw down a long list of people who had a hand in the mistranslation.
Okay. mm-hmm. Okay. You know, we'll never come to any kind of conclusion here. You understand? We're going to all, because everybody's going to walk away with their understanding, and if it ain't what they think it is, they ain't going to speak to you no more. Hallelujah.
But notice what that book still says, though, that Yah does what? He imparts wisdom into whom he
yes,
chooses
he does.
To do so. But
yeah.
Notice how he...
Here's what the Almighty said throughout all the scriptures. He is our salvation.
That's right.
You understand? That means that anything that we come up with, we need to bring it to him. Hallelujah.
That was my point. That's what I told you, to go to him on it. Now, notice this. Even in the book of Daniel, the Most High is very discriminate as to who he gives wisdom to. It says he gives wisdom to the wise. Wisdom to the
yes.
wise. He don't
yes,
even
he
give
does.
Wisdom to everybody. You got
okay.
people walking around here who are educated fools. And don't know that they are. They think they know everything. But in the sight of the Most High, they're fools.
That
but
is
he
correct.
He don't give wisdom to everybody. He only imparts it to those it says he gives wisdom to the wise.
You know what? One other thing here that I want to make see if I can bring some clarity to, you understand, is that it's not going to be everybody. Everybody ain't going to get it. I'm telling you, everybody's not going to get it. So when you talk about though we may be sands of the sea, you understand, only a remnant going to return. You understand? Only a remnant of folk going to get it. Everybody else is going to. And guess what? We can relate this back to Moses. Moses was the one that had the inspiration of the Almighty. Them other folks didn't have none of that. You know
That's
how we
point.
Know? Because they grimed and grim, they pitched the bitch out there in the fields. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, man,
right.
we should have stayed in Egypt.
That's my point.
It's similar to that today. In fact, what you just said still goes back to Scripture. It's found in the book of Isaiah. Though Israel's seed be as the sands of the seashore, yet a remnant, it says, shall return unto the Most High.
That is correct.
Now, that is correct. That, so let me make an announcement real quick. We still have a lot of people on the line. If you have a comment, question, or concern, please push 1. We want to hear what you have to say, but you still haven't answered my question. Yahoo, who do you think Jacob was in the wrestling with? Because he overtook him and overpowered him, and he took his hip out of joint to get him off of him.
He sure did. He said he wrestled him to what? To daybreak. And he asked him, what was his name? He, why askest thou after my name? But notice what he did. He tells him, your name shall no longer be called what?
Jacob.
But Israel. For you have what? You have seen Elohim, okay? And
yeah.
What? And
wrestled with him face to face.
And you have overcome. In other words, see, the word Yisrael means supplanter. It means he who has power with Elohim. Do you see now why he blessed him and changed his name to Israel and changed it from Yaakov to Israel? Because Yaakov himself says that what? But I have seen Elohim face to face. So they're going to answer to your question right there. That was the Most High himself he wrestled with. And this right here is going to storm some controversy. I guarantee you got about probably 30, 40, 50 people on the line and others ready to chop some head over that. Can nobody wrestle with the Most High and do that to him? Yeah, but when he got tired, he didn't even have to fight him. All he did was just touch him in the hollow of the thigh.
I was
and knocked the thigh out of joint.
That was the key indicator. I was like, no, this ain't no regular angel. Because this angel to wrestle with him, and he had to be wrestling with an older being. And then he had another power. When he got tired of fooling with him, he just touched him and all of a sudden took his whole hip out of joint. Now, my next question is, did he continually walk with a limp from that point or did he put it back?
No, he continually walked with a limp.
He continued to walk with it. That's correct. Because, you know, that's one reason why, even it goes on to tell you, that's the reason why, that man was referring to us, of course, why the Hebrews don't eat the back part of an animal. Because
that's
of the fact that Yaakov's thigh was never put back in joint. Yes, he did continue to walk with a limp. You're right, Brother Tony. And sister, you were right in the first place. That's the reason why I put it back in your lap, so that you can understand and see for yourself what you read. You had it right from the start.
Yeah.
Wow.
Praise
so you
God.
Said Hebrews don't die, huh?
Oh, let me ask a question here, man. I was reading. You know, I was listening to the Black Kings, Sumerian scrolls, and et cetera, and they mentioned something about the epics of Gilgamesh. What is that? I'm not familiar with.
I have no idea. You'll have to.
Oh, I can help you out with that. You're talking about the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Yeah.
And that story talks about Nimrod. And that story talks about how Nimrod became a Geborim, and Nimrod became what you call one of those giants. And matter of fact, in the museum in Paris, they actually have a stone statue of Nimrod, and they say he started out a regular man, but something in his DNA triggered and turned him into a Geborim, which was a Nephilim, and they say he was so big that he couldn't ride on a regular horse, and when he got on the horse, his legs drug the ground. And they said he would hold a regular lion in his arm like an alley cat. So the epic of Gilgamesh deals with Nimrod transforming, something in his DNA transformed him into something else.
Yeah. You know, and it goes so far as to say that Cush was a super power at one point before...
Mm-hmm.
Before the Sumerians.
All of those, because they were from Babylon. They were from Babylon. They were right in that Babylonian area, and Nimrod was the leader of it. And they also said in the book of Jasher that Nimrod, actually the skin that the Most High, whatever he used, was passed down to Nimrod, and Nimrod used the skin that was it had some sort of magic powers or something to it. But this is the stuff that Christianity and none of the other religions teach when they talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's the whole purpose for this show that we're going to be on for the next couple of weeks, to get them familiar with who they are dealing with in the Old Testament, because they really don't know how powerful he is. And the fact that he comes and he talks to his people, he still come to earth. He still interacts with us. We just don't know who he is.
You know what? The Muslims, a long time ago, almost 50 years ago, the Muslims came out with the big head scientist.
Yeah.
What's his name? The big head scientist.
That was, they call him Yaqub.
No, Yaqub came after.
They just called him Yaqub.
Yeah, Yaqub, the big head scientist, and they came from the center of the earth.
Right.
Hey, man, you know, it sounds like a fairy tale.
It sure does. You know, they even went on to say that he was the one that blew the moon away. I read that whole little thing they had going out, you know.
So this is more deeper than we could imagine. You understand?
That's
and
right.
For us to find out any truth in this here, man, you understand, it'll take, another 100 years.
That's the reason why he said, gather yourself together, O nation that desire, so we can bring it all together and bring it on the collaboration,
you know,
and do like we're doing.
This is what
go
I
ahead.
Think. I mean, you know,
you are absolutely right, my brother. You are so right. Hallelujah. I'm glad you were speaking out on this subject. I really am.
Hallelujah.
It's going to take the Most High to come, though, and to really be able to straighten out everything and clear up every lie that was told. And substantiate or desubstantiate manuscripts and all that, because there's a whole lot of stuff out there that we ain't even touched the surface on. There's a whole lot of gods, deities out there that we ain't even touched the surface on. But back to my question, because I got a couple more questions for you I have to ask you.
Hallelujah.
So would you be willing to say that, because I was reading this one writing on the internet, and he seemed to feel like that when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, that it was the vehicle of the chariot that was actually in the cloud that took them by day, and the fire from the chariot that took them by night. What do you think about that?
I agree with that more than 100%, because look at the characteristics of the chariot of the cloud. Now, remember, if you go back down to Exodus and read it, look at what the Most High told them not to do. They say he told them not to provoke the angel, the Malachia, that is in the cloud.
Okay.
He told them don't provoke him. Don't make the man that's driving this vehicle over your head that's showing you which way to go. See, you can't lose track of him because it's a pillar of a cloud. Now, when you break that pillar of a cloud down, I mean, get through the figurative, get through the literal meaning, and get through the metaphorical meaning, if you're going to come up with a flying vehicle of some sort, okay? Because look what the thing did. It cast a shadow over them in the daytime. It was so huge. It shielded them from that what? From that desert sun. At the same time, guiding them. And at night, look what the thing did. It lit up. It simply illuminated. But he told them, do not provoke the angel that's in the cloud. Go out there on YouTube and look at these pictures of these chariot clouds that they have taken all over the earth, all over the planet. Chariot clouds. No doubt in my mind about that, sister. No doubt in my mind.
But you do believe that that was that he had a vehicle, because you know what this does? This takes away from the you know, that the Most High is this supernatural, he's still supernatural, that he's this being all-knowing and that he can just poof appears, which he can still do that if he wants to. But there is order in what he does and how he does and who he does
it
with.
Yes.
He sent one of his men to make sure they got to where they needed to go. But then when they was on the mountain, then he was able to talk to them face to face. So then you're telling me that Moses, Aaron, and Aaron's two sons and the 70 angels went up on the mothership and had a conversation with. Now, listen, to most people who are listening, this sounds weird. You know that, right?
Sound like you've been watching science fiction. Sound like you've been in the Twilight Zone too long.
Because I was trying to tell one of our family
members that. It's just hidden from us.
You know what they said? That they said that in the Vatican, in the cellar, in the basement of the Vatican's, there's information that could substantiate a lot of the stuff that we're talking about right here today.
They were the one that conquered us. Remember, A.D. 70, Titus, a Roman general, overthrew Jerusalem in the year A.D. 70, burnt a lot of the original manuscripts, took a lot of our articles of clothing. Do you know that in certain chambers of the Vatican, they have our original robes? That we wore back in the day still there? Yes. Now, let me tell you what they're going to have on the dollar bill, Sister Yaeen and Brother Adonia. This is this can be substantiated through the Library of Congress. A lot of us have gone all over the places.
Oh, the Library of Congress, you right?
Yes, sir. Now, let me tell you what they were going to do with the dollar bill at first. Do you know that symbol they have back there where the pyramid is now with all the little writings and everything on it? Guess what they originally had there? They originally had Moses standing on a mountain with a staff in his hand, and a beam was coming down from a flying article in the sky down through the rod, and then the rod came to earth. That's what was on the back of the dollar bill before they changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did they change that all?
Wow.
In the ancient picture of Sister Yaima of the so-called Mona Lisa, look at that picture again and look what's in the background. They got pictures of, quote, flying saucers all in the back of her. And Leonardo painted that picture hundreds and thousands of years ago.
You know,
it's a commercial now.
If you look, it's on the Internet. You understand?
Yes.
The Sumerian scrolls and the documentary.
Yes.
I wish we, we could go through the whole thing, and it's because it's a wealth of information.
Yes.
And it will break down a lot of stuff that we're talking about. You understand that we're skeptical of, or we don't know. You understand, and we're thinking about it. You understand, it opens up a whole brand new, perspective. You understand?
Bro, that's
what
you
think.
Open up your understanding. See, like you mentioned on another program, being narrow-minded in this dispensation of time will get you nowhere but nowhere.
That is correct.
You got to expand your horizons, man. Look, Daniel, did he not say that in this dispensation of time, that knowledge, not religion now, knowledge would be increased?
That is correct.
We're increasing knowledge. We didn't know these things. They kept them hidden from us. But notice what he did in this day and time. The seals now have been loosed from off the book. Because at one point in time, we didn't even know that we were Israel.
That is correct.
But the seals have been loosed. Now we can go in there and see what we did that caused this great what? This great thing to come upon us. Now we see. We once were blind, but now we see. Hallelujah.
That's crucial. So then we know now from a surety that, because then we have to deal with the kingdom, because now you talk about space and time, you talk about interdimensional travel, you're talking about jet propulsion that sounds like a whirlwind. I mean, these are identifying terms that everybody can identify with, because I'm a Star Trek fan. Love it. I mean, drawn to it, love it, 100% there, and you understand now that they were dealing with, not, and it doesn't take any power away from the Most High at all whatsoever. Let me make this announcement. We are Hebrew Israelites. We are talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he has a material being, he has a body, and we're not talking about him being in the form of a man, having flesh like we are from the dirt. If you want to join this conversation, please push 1. We welcome you. Any questions, anything we have, we'll be on here for until 5:30. But I just want to say, you know, when it comes to the Ancient of Days and when it comes to Jacob wrestling with him, he would have had to have been. The part that fascinates me the most is that he takes time and he comes to earth and he interacts with us and we don't even know it's him. Jacob didn't know that was him.
Abraham didn't know that was him until he told him who he was.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. And people don't realize he's the same yesterday, today, forevermore. He don't change. He's still doing it.
Moshe didn't know who he was until he told him who he was. You know, how to get his attention. Put a bush on fire, and people say that that's not literal. Well, yes, it is. I can feel it. I see some of these things you can discern in your spirit is how you know it's real. They have been, like you said, Donia, there have been theories that have refuted that no one can part or see. Oh, really? If Eliyahu, the man called Elijah, can take his mantle and hit the water and cause it to part and walk on dry land.
Mm-hmm.
What is it too hard for y'all to do? We got to understand that our Heavenly Father is totally, totally unlimited in anything that he can do. There's nothing he cannot do except lie. That's the only one thing out of all the things that he can do that he cannot do, and that's lie.
That is correct.
Hallelujah.
So then that means that when he comes while we're yet here, that he is not in the same and walking around with a robe and stuff on that's going to be unidentifiable, is he?
Well, now notice he said that his glory will he not give to another. Now what the Most High does, Most High doesn't change. He doesn't change. I'm sure that if he came here in this day and time, see, he don't have to take down for nobody. He don't have to bow down to nobody. He don't have to make no excuses nobody. I'm sure that if he appeared, he will appear in that long robe that Isaiah said he saw him in, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the day that King Uzziah died, I saw Yah high and lifted up, sitting on a throne, and his train the holy temple. What is a train? That's that thing, you know, that thing, that tail end of that thing that Charles, when your sisters get married in the traditional marriage sense, you know,
right,
that long thing that tails the wedding gown you have on.
It's a robe.
Yes.
Now,
it's
what's
a robe.
The Most High doing with a robe on, and this thing got a long train to it? If he's not a physical being, do you put a robe on a ghost?
That's correct.
Uh-oh, you done started something. Somebody done pushed one. Hold on, let me get them off. Erico 404, go ahead, you're on the air.
Well, the redeemed of the Most High, y'all ought to say so. Shalom. Ooh, my God. Oh, I don't even know what to say. I don't know how anybody could be listening to the conversation that you all are talking about and something not go from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. To each of you on this platform this afternoon, I want to just say may Yah continue to bless you. When you talk about the real truth, when you talk about things, these things are going to make people uncomfortable, especially people that glance at their book. We do not have people that study. Now, there's a scripture on that new book. I think it's Timothy, but I've forgotten that. I came up 41 years as a Christian. I come from both sides, generations of preachers. I was a preacher in that Christian thing. And I'm going to tell you, when I came out of Christianity for 2.5 years, I almost lost my mind. Get over the fact that no man died for my sins. And I know, Sister Yaina, you said we're not going in that back, but you can't deal with that front. You got to cancel out stuff that these people are forcing on you to discredit the front. I was in the Christian bookstore a couple of weeks ago, and I asked the guy, did he have the Torah? He said, well, we don't need that no more. We're not under. I about turned the bookstore out saying, how dare you say that we don't need that no more? He said, well, it's old. He said that it's old. I said, how can it be old when the prophecies are jumping off the scripture? These things haven't even happened yet, so how can that be old? But I want to stand on this evening to share with you, sister, to just tell you, may the Most High Yah continue to use you to go forward. You're going to have mores. You're going to have bishops. You're going to have apostles, all these people that's coming with their theory on what they believe that the scriptures are saying. The Most High, first of all, told us in Amos that he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets.
Yes.
So if he ain't revealed no secret to you, You obviously ain't no prophet of his, and therefore you will not have the understanding. Now, Hosea says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Now, why?
Mm.
Not because the knowledge is not available to them, but they reject it.
Okay.
It blew my mind. It blew my mind when I first heard that Yah was a man. I said, a man? Oh, get out of here. He's a spirit. Oh, he's the Holy Ghost. I mean, you deal with the average Christian today, and I was one. One of them tongue-talking, pew-walking, working the ushers overtime, shouting all over the place. Most of those people don't have any substance. In my ministry, I am a warrior queen for the most time.
Yes.
I go in the bushes and shake up stuff. I don't want to be nobody's friend. I don't need to be nobody's friend because the last 8 years I've been on this thing searching and searching, and Yah is opening up doors that were never open before. I have not looked in that new book in almost 9 years. So you're not telling me I got to have it, because it ain't
nope.
getting nothing for me. But because I'm in Genesis through Malachi, the Most High has opened up doors where I don't have just one, two. I'm talking about three businesses that are in billion-dollar
okay.
industry. I'm talking about I walk with kings and queens because of the Most High. Yah, he said that your gift, it'll make room for you and bring you in front of these kind of people. And I'm here to say on today, the Most High Yah eats, get in Genesis, when he came to Abraham and Sarah, and he said, Sarah laughed. She said, oh, no, I didn't. He said, oh, but you did. Under her breath, she sniggled, but the Most High Yah said, oh, but you did. And he talked to Abram about it and said, oh, yeah, because Abram sniggled and giggled. She's like, old as I am, you talking about getting ready to have a baby? He said, oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And it says that Abram went and told Sarah to go and prepare some food. And he went and got some meat. Meat for who? Meat for the three that
right.
he saw in the door. Two of them went on to Sodom and Gomorrah, and one stayed back and continued to talk to Abram and talk about what the promise was. So we have to get in a place that even though we hear information, it doesn't make us feel good. Big Mama says, like Castro, it's nasty going down, but it will get the job done. And I want to just say to all of you on this platform, Sister Yaina, Brother Adona, Brother Yeriyahu, man, Atlanta is on fire. We got to have some kind of seminar, conference or something, 2014, bringing it to this Sodom and Gomorrah, because this place here going to be on fire in just a few moments with this homosexual stuff. The Most High Yah in Leviticus. Now, let me just say this, and I'm not going to hold up the line, but if the front of your book is not in red, you need to go buy you a new book. This is why
That's
people
right.
are getting confused. They cannot see when the prophets or when Yah is speaking, and they do all these run-on sentences. And Christians are trying to say in Isaiah that it's talking about J.C. That's
Ooh.
Not talking about J.C. in there.
Ooh.
He doesn't mention him in the front. Genesis through Malachi, we have to talk about this stuff. There's no sense in getting mad. We are all grown. How do you think I felt after being 42 years old realizing I had been tricked? I was in the streets. I know what being a hoe is like, being tricked. Somebody telling you they're going to give you this, give you that. You done perform the service and you don't get nothing. And that's what we've been as a people, just a trick.
That is correct.
What?
That's true.
It's powerful.
I'm with you 100% since on that one, for real. We have been tricked, for real. And that's what we do. We have to come to the table and talk. I'm with you 100%. Like I said, I believe in what I believe, and the sides have been chosen. But the fact that we need to bring this stuff to the table, it's got to come out.
When it's all said and done,
we still got to go back together to the land. So, I mean, those are the things that we're focusing on now today, is to try to get the people to understand. If nothing else draws you, because one thing you're not going to do is you're not going to walk up in that church and nullify J.C. I don't even believe in J.C. So you're not going to walk up in Christianity and nullify J.C. They will be ready to lynch you. So we have to try to find a way to bring these people into a common conversation, and that common conversation has to be the Most High Yah. Because guess what? His name is the one that's been taken out of the book, and his name is the one that's been deleted. So they don't know him, but they claim they do know him. So that's why the Most High is leading us to get to know me first, and then everything else will be exposed unto you. It'll be revealed unto you. So, I mean, I do all appreciate
right.
all that. We...
Good.
Yes, ma'am.
You're right, Queen. You're right, Queen. And I just want to let
gotta,
you know
we
he gave...
We got to be wise when we deal with people, because we got to meet people where they are. It's like...
You're
you know,
right,
you
Queen.
Can...
You're right. But there are some of them that you got to club straight across their damn head because they hard-headed as hell. And I just hate to be bold with you, but I'm just telling you, in Atlanta, I, through the Most High, y'all broke records because I got on Christian radio and boldly told them if they didn't study, mm-hmm. they were being tricked, and I got kicked off radio 2 or 3 times. Didn't care.
Well, you know one here that we have to understand here. Those of us that have the understanding and the willing heart, we have to stand in the breach. We have to stand up for the Almighty, you understand? And we have to show examples. And you know how we show examples? By the favor of the Almighty. The Almighty will favor
just like,
us.
Just like we're doing right now, like this. The fact that we're coming together, doing what we're doing right now is powerful. You know what? And the enemy don't like it because his job is to divide and conquer. And his job is to keep us mad at each other. But we got to teach
yes.
this stuff to the world. We got to let
yes.
the world know who God is and what our
yes.
purpose is. And our purpose is to bring the world
Thank
to him.
You.
So we got to let them know what they're dealing with. And he's not a big puff of smoke and a spirit that hovers all over everywhere. He is a physical, material being.
Thank you,
and
yes.
he has an army, and
Thank
he has
you,
a fleet,
yes.
and he has a that is not in this dimension, and he does interdimensional travel. When he comes
yes.
into our atmosphere and he connects with us one-on-one, that is one being that is not from
Thank
this dimension
you.
Coming, crossing over dimensions and dealing with us on a whole nother plane. And we have yet to do that because nobody has crossed over and went into that dimension other than Enoch and Elijah.
Okay.
That's right.
Even then, Ooh. Enoch's body had to be changed. When Enoch went up and they took him up and he saw the Most High, he said, what in the world is that? And the angel said, I'm going to have to up your flesh to give you a whole nother flesh to be able to survive in this dimension. So we got to get people to understand we're talking about two different dimensions, a whole nother kingdom somewhere else. And like you said last week, Brother Yermanyahu, they're getting ready to be an invasion on this place.
Yes.
They getting ready to come. Them chariots is coming to do an invasion on this place.
Yah is coming for his people. Psalm 104. Listen to this right quick. Look at what Dawid wrote here in Psalm 104, verse 3. In fact, in y'all's spare time, read the whole psalm because it's packed with juicy stuff. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his chariot? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Look at that. The cloud went up and went down, but it's asking a question. Who makes the clouds his chariot?
Okay.
The book full of it, y'all. It's full of it. It's just like the sister said from Atlanta. You got to have the wisdom and the spirit of the Most High to even go in and understand all this stuff. Without him, you are lost in translation. You are lost in translation. There is truth in this book. A whole lot of falsehood, too, but there's truth in there. Like the sister said,
yes,
you got to know when the Most High is speaking, when somebody else is speaking. You got to know what is being said, what is meant by what's being said, and only the fact that same book, Brother Donnie, Zephaniah even tells us that our children, that we are going to be what? First of all, y'all going to turn unto the people of pure language. He's
okay.
going to turn us back to the original.
Hallelujah.
Like before it got perverted with Yiddish and
that
all this other mess Jews come up with. Then it
you
goes on to say that Yah himself is going to be the one to teach us. How can we go wrong then if he going to teach us?
Ooh, that's why.
Hallelujah.
That's why I said that when we bring this to the table, the Almighty going to be there. We ain't going to get it wrong. Not at all. Hallelujah.
That's the truth. Hallelujah. But the fact that we have enough maturity and enough love and enough camaraderie to be on a show like this, to be able to present a united front so that we can, because we got to reach everybody. We got to reach everybody because we scattered all over the place in all kinds of stuff. And we got to be able to reach these people and bring these people into a common conversation. And to be able to get them involved. And I think that this right here, like I said, we're going to be on this for about 3 weeks. So let everybody that know anybody, that know pastors, that know any Muslims, anybody tell them to come on the show. Because guess what? The Muslims talk about the mothership all the time. This ain't
they,
this
that's
is not
right. They call it the wheel. Uh-huh. That's
oh,
right.
Dude.
They call it the wheel. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so did Ezekiel. He said it's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Uh-oh, we got somebody.
He was, if you read that to Sister Yahina,
If you read that, the brother
was
on
the wheel in the middle of the wheel. And he went
he
and four pieces came out of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
we can all sing together,
go ahead.
Same time.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Yes, we
hello,
can hear
I'm
you.
Sorry, I sound funny because I have a cold. I just have a question. I don't feel good, so y'all excuse me, but is it just me, or am I the only person that see the book of Revelation unfolding in front of our eyes? I mean, I know it's a lot of people on the line that discredit the New Testament, but when he said it'll come, when the New Testament says it'll come a time that we won't be able to buy, sell, or trade because the society is being cashless, that's happening now. When it says that we'll be forced to get computer chips, that's happening now. That's what Obamacare is about. I know. I work in healthcare. I know what the game plan is. It don't take, a rocket scientist. It don't take ancient research. It's in your face, happening. I mean, just food for thought. I don't know how people can explain that away, but it's going down, just like the book says so. And that's all I want to say.
That's beautiful, beautiful, because first of all, the Holy Scriptures over in Deuteronomy 28 talks about the curses and everything that Revelations and those other books talk about that's happening. It's already been talked about before.
Yes.
Read them curses, 15 through 68. Yeah, everything that you're talking about was going on bad. It already told us this butt cutting that y'all was going to put on us was going to happen, and that's in the front, you know, the book, the Obamacare, well, the affordable health care, you know what they are, you know, calling it, you know, that's another can of worms that'll open up stuff because you have to really open up your mind and realize the Creator said he's the one that appoint kings. He's the one that put people in office, you know, for such a time as this. And the beautiful thing is you do have to study. You cannot just go on what the books, these people say. Studying requires you to do more than just reading a chapter. You got to meditate on that thing. You got to take it before y'all. It requires you to do some fasting and praying. You may spend a whole month or 3 or 4 months on one chapter, really getting revelation. And those of us that have been leaders and preachers in the pulpit, there's no way that once we've been tricked and deceived, we're going to let anything come by us. So I thank Yaina, you for the beautiful people that listen, but those people that really just sit in the pew, those people who have not been in the pulpit and go behind the pulpit in the preacher's study and all of these things and see what really go on with the wisdom and understanding, man, we just got to call on Yah and ask him to continue to open our eyes like Elijah and his servant. He said, Yah, open his eyes that he can see. Right now he just can't see. Open his eyes. And my heart goes out because, like I said, my calling is one for hardcore. I deal with gangsters. I deal with people in the strip club. I like them kind of people. I love hard-headed bishops and apostles and pastors because I can talk to them on another level than talking to lay members because I have to be mindful that these are weak sheep that are in the pulpit, and I know the energy that he's given me will call. Y'all says words like a two-edged sword. That thing will cut you going in, cut you going out, and if you do any fishing, if you ever gutted a fish, you have to take that knife, go in, slice it open, and get all the guck up out of it before you're able to eat. And I'm going to go, y'all, but I'm going to be listening. I enjoy you all. Sister Yaina, we definitely need to talk. There's some things I need to talk to you about. Brother Yirmiyahu, you know it's always a pleasure to hear you. And Brother Adonia, you know every time I hear your voice, it does something. And all of us are in Atlanta, and we need to go ahead again, like I said, and plan on a regular because I know there are a lot of babes out here that are confused. There are talk shows telling people Galactics are coming back to get them, and they're going to walk through life chambers, and people are just going for anything right now because we broke. As a nation, we don't have nothing, but the scripture told us you wouldn't have nothing. Y'all said he was going to put a butt cutting on us that was going to go from your children's children for generations and generations. So it was foretold in the front of the book what Revelation is talking about, what's happening now.
Yeah, one thing that I want to comment on also is that it's not about the leaders today. It's about the common person. The leaders have led us astray. The common person is seeking to find out, well, what the hell is going on? And so it's about the common person now to try to find out which way he need to go. And we know that the Almighty is in the mix here. You understand? He's trying to show us what we need to do. You understand? We need to come to him. He is our salvation. We don't have no other way. We don't have nobody else. Ain't nobody was with him when he created this stuff. You understand? He said, let us make man in our image. That was his contemporaries. Those are people that he ran. Those are the... Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, those are the people that he could tell what to do. You understand? Those were not no people that, you understand, that ran anything along with him. Not at all. Hallelujah. You understand?
He's ahead
so,
of it all.
Huh? So,
and I agree
so,
with everybody, and I agree with what you guys say, but, I mean, since we went there for a moment, I just wouldn't say this.
Go ahead.
Like I said, the whole show, the next 3 weeks is going to be about Yah being a material being, what the kingdom is about, because this is the stuff that's going to draw people in. You know, I believe in the whole book from the beginning to the end. I could tell you and Yeremiah Yahoo some stuff that would blow your literal mind. I mean, blow your mind. Not yet, though. The Most High said not yet. I ain't going to say nothing yet. But when it does come out, it's going to be so devastating, it's going to blow your mind. But I will say this much is that I feel like this. The Most High, it's a chessboard. Now, I'll say it again. I'm going to say it 1,000 times. There's a cosmic chessboard. And everybody has a part to play on the chessboard. And everybody has chosen sides. We talked about the choice to do what they need to do. You can't go in the church. I can. I'm going to church, tear down JC. I can tear down Christmas. I can tear down Easter. I can tear it all the way down to the point where it ain't nothing. And still, they can hold on to what they believe. So that's why the Most High has chosen certain people to do certain things. I don't believe in Jesus Christ either, because there is no J in the Hebrew language. There was no Jesus Christ. That was something they made up. That white man on the television on the picture with the long brown hair and the blue eyes, no, we don't believe in him. But the Most High has chosen some of us to be able to get these people to the point where they at least, one, know who they are. And the only way they're going to know who they are is to know him, because to know him draws you into, okay, well, he's a being, but he's a being that has chosen a people. Okay, I'm the people that he's chosen. Tell me more. I want to hear more. The more we start focusing on him, it's going to draw the people in to want to know who they are. Like Brother Donnie, I said, and you said, the final chapter, the final frontier is going to be when we go to the wilderness and he sit down and tell us himself what the real story is. It ain't going to be a book. It ain't going to be a manuscript. It ain't going to be a man. It ain't going to be nobody but him that's going to sell it out. But our job as Hebrew Israelites is to teach the world about who he is and who they are. So that's the whole purpose of what we're doing right now. And I think it's a beautiful thing what we're doing, because we have a lot of people on this line. I mean, it's a lot of people on this line.
Well,
from
they need to speak up then. They need to come on with it, so we can all find out, you understand, we can all set up a little date as to bring that stuff to the table so that we can all put it on the table and we can discuss it, you understand, so that we can all get on the same page. The Almighty said that we got to be on the same page.
There's no way we're going to all be on the same page, because even in the people who believe in Torah, they're still confused.
Okay, now listen, let me
know that, because the one didn't believe that the Ancient of Days was Yah. So, I mean,
let me tell you this here. Here's what Almighty said through the mouth of Zephaniah, is that he's going to return to us a pure language so that we can all be on the same page. So that's not no poof moment. That's a thing that we have to, it's going to take some time. It's going to take us sitting down and talking about it. And then we're going to all be on the same page at one point. Hallelujah.
He'll be with us face to face when we get to the wilderness, and he'll be the one to do that. But what's so beautiful about this whole thing is that we're all able to talk on the same platform. Ain't nobody mad at each other. We still in love doing what we're doing. And we're talking about something that we have in common, and that's the Most High.
Praise
that's the Most
God.
High. I mean, when I was in Christianity, I used to call him God the Father. And I used to tell him all the time, no, you don't know him. You ain't never met him before, because he don't play, period. It's nothing to deal with him. When he deal with something, he don't play at all. And that's what we have to get them to understand. What you've been teaching and what you've been taught is a lie. It's all wrong. It's a lie.
Right.
I can agree
that's
with
right.
it. It's all a lie. You need to be retaught again so you understand who you are, where you're from, and what that kingdom is all about. Because while Christianity is still in heaven, the Most High coming here. And while it's about, to with Christianity, it's about new bodies and being able to fly and go to heaven. Guess what? Over here, it's about land, resources, and people.
Praise the Lord. Let me share something right quick, too, because you're exactly right. The word rapture, now, you know, this has been thrown down our throat ever since we've been little children, you know, and even into the adult church day. Do you know that word appears in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, appears zero, a total of zero times? You will not find the word rapture nowhere. So then how do people subscribe to something that's not even written in the book? Look at
and
that.
Then you know what I And you know what I say to them when they talk about that? I say, even if it was true, and this is my approach, even if it was true, I say, let's just say for argument purposes that what you're talking about is true and it's going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. Even if it was true, if we lay up the pros and the cons from Israel to Christianity, you will never go before me because there are things that you have to line up with yourself. He's not going to leave Israel, conscious Israel, behind for people that have been fed a lie. So you got to be able to get people to understand, no matter what you do, you got to understand that the whole moment, when you really, let me say this, when you really understand what's going on and when you really understand how this whole system was set up, from the time Christopher Columbus came here and discovered something somebody else was living on until the time that the queen got together and did what she did, this whole economy was already pre-set up. And from the time America and England got together and decided to make the Jewish people the Hebrew people and spun that big lie, and they all funded the banking systems and got all that stuff together, this whole system we're in is corrupt and is deliberately set up so that they can continue to deny that we are the people of the book. So everything we're doing, from working from the beast to eating in the beast to living in the beast, everything we're doing is a complete and direct defiance to the Most High's law. And every time I run into family member or whatever, I had my uncle tell me one time from California, he said, "You keep the law." I said, "I most certainly do." He said, "Ain't nothing wrong with keeping the law, but, you know, you don't have to keep it, but ain't nothing wrong with keeping it. But you got to be careful because if you keep one part, you got to keep it all." Now, mind you, I know the book. He said, "I went to seminary school. I know what I'm doing, blah, 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 blah." I said, "Don't you think it's strange that you got to pay taxes on everything you do in this society?" I said, "But that's the one profession in all of the professions that you all are allowed to be tax-free." I said, "Think about that." I said, "But if we don't have to keep the law," and this is how I get the New Testament, folks, I said, "Well, what is sin?" He said, I said, "Because 1 John 3:4 says sin is the transgression of the law. So what law is we transgressing then?" You know, he scratched his head and went in the house. That law going to be kept no matter what we do. That law going to be in place no matter who it is. And no matter what you do, when we go back to the land, that law is going to be implemented again, and we're going to keep it all, every bit of it.
That's right.
Yep.
And
you know what's so beautiful about this, guys, is guess what? Y'all don't have to say that to him, but guess what he did? He purposed me to be the one to go say that to him. And I'm a cry loud, and I'm a spare not, and I'm going to tell him what it is all the way from the pulpit to the door.
Yeah.
They got to eat it.
Look at one thing that I'm finding out, that the Almighty made a decree that shall not be transgressed. Now, what that means is that he put everything in its place when he put this place together. That means righteousness and judgment was already in this place. How it got out of whack is when our forefathers transgressed the law. When he said that when we started worshiping other deities, that was a no-no. That was the cardinal sin. You understand? That put everything out of whack. You understand? There's a natural way that things are supposed to go. You understand? The grass is, if you water the grass grows. You understand? If you let your produce for your field fall back onto the earth for that eighth year, you'll have a bigger crop the next year. You understand? All of these things was in place. You understand? But when our forefathers transgressed the law, you understand? See, now even though he said that he made a decree that shall not be transgressed, that has not changed. Only what we did has changed. You understand what I'm saying? When we change those things, you understand? You know, if the Almighty said, you understand, that he was going to bring us back into the land of milk and honey. That didn't change. He didn't say, I'm going to bring you back into the land of milk and money. You understand? He didn't change. His thing remains the same throughout the whole scriptures. You understand? And so when we go back into the land, see, right now that land is not yielding its produce to nobody, period. It's barren. Then it's just growing and growing. You understand? It's not yielding any produce to anybody until we get back into that land. And he said he was going to bring us back into that land. Now, all of this is part of what we have to do in order to go back into the land. You understand? It's a process of elimination. Hallelujah.
Brother Jeremiah, you got something else?
Hey. Okay. You know, another wonderful thing that's going to occur in the upcoming future with us is Yah does talk about this new covenant that he's going to make with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda.
Ooh.
And you will find this in the book called Jeremiah, chapter 31, starting at verse 31. In y'all free time, read the terms and conditions of the new covenant and tell me, has this happened yet? It has to do with that wilderness, like you said, sir. But I also want to share with the sister that called in early, like, and accentuate something that a sister Naya said from Atlanta about how a lot of the things that we've been, you know, that we confront and we encounter on the other side and the new side has already been spoken. For example, a lot of us don't even know that Job even spoke of this mark long before Revelation was even written. It's found in Job chapter 16, starting at verse 11 and 12. It says, Elohim hath delivered me into the hands of the ungodly and turn me over into the hands of the wicked. He said, I was at ease, and he has broken me asunder. He has also taken me up by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his M-A-R-K mark. It's right there in your book. Read it. I already spoke about the mark of the wicked. A lot of people didn't know back then. When I bring this to people, I didn't even know that was in there. Well, praise God. God has some of us here, like we mentioned before. Some of us got bits and parts of it. Some of us got this part. Let's bring it all together. You'll be surprised at what y'all can do amongst us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. The beautiful part about it is it's done in love. And it's done in respect, and we love each other. And all we want is Israel to wake up. You know, like you said, like I said before when we first started, everybody has a right to the freedom of choice that they choose to make. The beautiful part about the choice is that we choose, whether you're on the right side of the book or the left side, or you believe the whole book, when we get to that wilderness, the Most High said himself, I am going to plead with you face to face. So he's going to give everybody an opportunity to change their mind. Our job is to give them the information. Their job is to make the choice. When we get to that wilderness is when the choice goes. Hey, let me tell you something. Ain't going to be nobody going in Jerusalem with no discontinued feeling. Nobody's going up in Jerusalem that they all on the same page. So that's
that
the
is
most
correct.
Beautiful thing that we can look forward to, that Jerusalem is off limits to us until he cleans us up, gives us a pure language, and we have a clear understanding as to who he is and what the whole story is all about. And that's a beautiful thing because that means we all get a second chance to change our mind.
Makes it clear that the rebels will not enter into the land of Israel. He makes that very clear.
No, sir. No, sir. You're absolutely right. But the beautiful thing we learned today, guess what? Yah has a body. He's a material being. He travels in a ship. He's got ships everywhere. What you say? They 20,000. Psalm 68 and 17 said he got 20,000 of them, and they say they 3 and 4 football fields long. And people have seen them, and they coming on our behalf, and that's a beautiful thing. All I can say is, wow, toda ya, toda ya, toda ya.
So there is some hope for us, huh?
It's 5:24, you guys, and I'm going to give you guys a minute to make your final remarks. I want to let everybody know we're going to be here back next year, next week, same time, same place, with the same topic. Bring your Bibles, your books, your questions. Tell everybody that you know that we can already have this topic because the lines were filled today. So you guys go ahead, and I'm going to give you a final word.
Shalom, shalom, Mr. Adonijah.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
And I just wanted to say that this has been a very good conversation that we had, and I pray that we can continue bringing this conversation, and more people need to come up and start talking so that we can try to get everybody on the same page here, understand, so that we can all this gives me hope, you understand? This lets me know that there is some hope for us, you understand? We're getting ready to come up out of this mess. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
And with that, I say I love all you, you understand, with the love of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Moriel Yirmiyahu.
Shalom, shalom. I'd like to say that was a very beautiful expression, and I've definitely enjoyed being here with you, sister, and you, brother, you know, and all the listeners that are on the air. And like I say, we are doing this out of love. See, it's for the love of a people that a man will even lay down his life. Look at this. Moshe, all the people that preceded us were bold in what they had to do for the Creator. But one thing you can see that they had is a burning love for their people. Moshe even said, you know, blot me out of your book if you have to. Only pardon the transgressions of thy people. Because he letting y'all know we're going to be sinning a lot now. But please, just beg our pardon. You know, we're coming up, we're learning. Same thing, same type of patience. That book said Moshe was the most meekest, not weakest now, meekest.
Mm.
Meek doesn't mean weak. He was the most meekest man on the earth at that time. That's how the Creator was able to use him. So I just like to just say to everybody, I want to encourage you, right, Brother Adonijah. We do have hope. Y'all said he was going to give us an expected end. Look at that word very carefully. To give you an expected end. Expected end of what? Look at this, y'all. So I just like to say, sister, as long as my phone stay on, I will be on this platform with you all, and I praise the Most High Yah and thank him, Tola Yah, for blessing
all the ears
and all the mouths that speak his word on this platform, and I'll continue to be with you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's a beautiful thing. That's the love we're talking about, because it's love that draws people together. You know, the one thing I don't like is people that have anger and hatred. We don't deal with all that because you have a right to make the choice you want to make. And we love you with the choice. It's like I told you, beliefs can be changed, but the bloodline is forever. And we will always be Israel, and we are always his people. And the beautiful thing about this story is we got black people out there that are hurting. We got black men out there that are feeling like they're less than. We have black women out there that are struggling and raising babies on their own, and our kids are being shot down in the street, and our children are homeless, families are homeless, but they don't know that they are the apple of his eye. And when you tell them that and you make them understand why we're in the condition that we're in, it changes everything for them. The whole game changes, and that's what we got to tell them, and that's what we got to bring to them. Because they need to know that it ain't going to stay like this forever. And they're not going to continue to wreak havoc over us. And they're not going to continue to mistreat us the way they do. Because we have an Elohim that's coming with all of his chariots and all of his army, with all of his... They're going to be able to feel the power and the pain. Because the same thing they did to us is going to get done to them.
Ooh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Same thing. So that's what we got to portray. And on that, you guys, I'll see you next week. Same time, same place. We're going to be here talking about the same Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His name is Yahweh. And we'll see you guys next week. Shalom, shalom, everybody.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
All right, we'll see you next week, same time, same place. Don't forget to tell your pastors, all your preachers, your apostles, your prophets, tell them to call in because we're going to talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, shalom, everybody. See ya.